Okay. Alrighty. So basically we're on Daled Amud Aleph and Shabbos at the bottom of the page, and the Gemara had just questioned the fact that in our Mishnah you have cases of Deoraisa of Otsah, where you put it on the, take it or put it on the person's hand. And the problem is that a hand isn't Dalet al Dalet. And we know in Otsah you need a Makam Dalet al Dalet. That's the premise. As we sat down, as we discussed last time, essentially, the essential idea, main idea, was that in order for it to be real, the productivity of Otsah is that the, it's not just that it happens to be in a location, but the Chafta really has a Din Makam. And the Din Makam is really like a, has to be an essential relationship between an object and its location. And that exists if the location is like a significant chasha, like a significant holder. In which case, now the object really is like kavua, or really has a din makom in the object. And then you say, when you're oker it, and niach it, you're really giving, you're changing the property of the makom of the object. But short of that, without the al-dalet, it's not really, it doesn't really have a din makom, it's just an accidental relationship to the place, in which case it's lacking in the din malach altogether. So how does the hand work? Because the hand is not the al-dalet. Okay. So now the Gemara begins the first of its numerous attempts at trying to find the author of this Mishnah. Okay? That's what it starts off with. So Amar Rabba. How many are Rikiwe? So Amar Lobo Inan Mako Marbal Arba. So it's Rikiwe. It says you don't need a, you don't altogether. He just says you don't even need this whole thing. There's no halacha according to Rikiwe. You don't need Dalal Dalal. Ditnan Hazorik. Again, we're gonna look at this mission a little bit later. But Hazorik Hazorik Rishas Yachid Me'emsa. So if you throw it from Rishas Yachid to Rishas Yachid, where there is an intervening Rishas Rabbim, okay. Rabbi Akiva Mechayev Vechachamim Potrim. So Rabbi Akiva holds your Chayev. And the Chamsi Yerpata. So, what do you chayev for? So, presumably, your chayev, right, it's going to be Yishas Yachid. So, presumably, it's because of the Rishas Rabbim in between. But the problem is, it's one throw from Yishas Yachid just passing through Rishas Rabbim. So where's the Yanacha? So, it says, must be Rabbi Kiva Savar Amrinan Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. Rabbanon Savri Lo Amrinan Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya. So, it must be that Rabbi Akiva says that since it's like grabbed in by the rishas, it's as if it is actually placed down in the rishas. So therefore, it's like it's resting in the rishas rabim, even though it's not quite resting in the rishas rabim. Once it's grabbed by the Rashi, kluta hachefetz, the object is grabbed. Howel v'niklat ba'avira shel rishas rabim, since it's grabbed in by the air. The airspace, the air of the Rishas Rabbim. Kamisha Huncha Besochahu. It's as if it were placed down in it. Even though it didn't quite rest. So therefore, so that's why Riki holds Yechayev. But the Rabbanon hold, that doesn't work. It didn't rest. So therefore, Yechayev. So therefore, in our Mishnah, so that could be a rikiva, because you don't need anacha. It's kluta kamishan unchadamia. Kluta kamishan unchadamia. Right? Okay, so that's, so basically, you don't need dalad al-dalad. So this halacha, which we previously stated of dalad al-dalad, that you need anacha on dalad al-dalad, is not according to everybody. So your rikiva apparently doesn't hold by it, because if you needed that, then how could you be chayv in rikiva's case? So it must be, he doesn't hold by it. So he's the author of our Mishnah. So everything's great. Alrighty, so that's the facts. Any questions?
Resting.
Okay, so I guess the first question is, how does this work exactly? If it's in the air, it's as if it rested? No, it isn't. It's not rested. There's such a thing as rest, and there's such a thing as not rest. Now, what does that mean? It's if it's in the air, it's as if it rested. It just sounds like magic. It's not... But how does that work? You can't just say that. Well, there's no sense to that. It just... He's just making that up, it sounds like. Or he's just making that up. Oh, yeah, no, it's the rest. Well, it's like it's resting, after all. from. I mean, yeah, obviously, what's the machlokas? I mean, we have to get into what's the machlokas, right? And obviously, he's not going to hold by Ilah the Svara, which we previously sang. No, not just. Yeah, I mean, you could ask a question is in the case of a Mishnah, so what do you have to put it down in the guy's hand for? If you tend to include the commission Huncha, once you cross the border, it should be Chayef. Yeah, Tosus deals with that. We'll get to that one. I think it's Tosus. I think it's Avalamatam here. Okay, but you can look at it. But basically, it doesn't work that way. That when it's in the other guy's hand, the transferor's hand, that so to speak, is ma'akev, the den of kluta. But you have to, like, get rid of it. Let go of it first, in order for kluta to apply. Okay, but it's, he deals with it. That's a notice. But you need that. We'll look at it. We'll do it at some point. But it doesn't work. Kluta doesn't work if it's in the transferor's hand, which is, I guess, part of his body still in the other rishos. But once you put it in the other guy's hand, then kluta will really kick in. But it's not because it's in his hand, per se. It's really because of kluta, according to this way of learning.
Then it's not going to solve the problem.
Yep. Here's what bothers me. Why don't you say, according to Rabbi Akiva, lo ba'ina hanacha? Like, what do you mean? If it's kluta, it's as if you did hanacha. He doesn't hold my hanacha. Like, it's like, the chachamim hold, you need a hanacha. Need anacha dalad. Right now, Rabbi Akiva just doesn't hold by that. So what he's saying is, I agree with you, chachamim, that you need anacha, but kluta kamishoncha. But why don't you say you don't need anacha? Like, it's a funny. There is no reality to anacha in his framework. He doesn't hold you need it. So like it's kind of like he's agreeing to them that there's anacha, but then he's saying but you never really need hanacha. So it's like this phantom hanacha that he has to cater to by saying that when it's kluta, it's like it's hanacha. But you should just say, Rikiva sever lo boina hanacha. And therefore, it explains the Mishnah perfectly. And that should be the machlokas. Do you need hanacha or do you not need hanacha? Like it's funny how Rikiva is agreeing that you need hanacha, but you don't really need it because you could magically have it. Just a funny, it's, why is it more forcing? You know, it's like a fun, it sounds like a force. And of course, I guess once we understand the Chachamim, I mean Rabbi Akiva, so I guess what's the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham? Right? I mean, I think for the time being, I don't think it's a good idea to try to define the machlokes. I think the right step is to try to understand the Rabbi Akiva. You know what I mean? Like, you're not ready to define a machlokes. You have to make sense of a position of Rabbi Akiva before you can start defining a machlokes. Rabbanan are fine. We already defined the Rabbanan. You know, the Rabbi Akiva is saying this thing which doesn't really seem to make any sense. To find a machlokas is a subtle distinction between the two sides. I mean, we just have to make sense. We have a more direct problem. And you see, by the way, Rashi is taking it very literally. He says it's kimi shehuncha besocho afal av delo nach. I mean, he's not just saying it's like maybe you could have argued but the mishuncha damya means you don't need hanacha. You know, but Rashi is sticking with explaining the lashon. I mean, he's really saying is that you, in theory, you would need nach, but or something like that. But this works. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that's my question. Just to clarify that question, is that sounds like you'd think is that the question is, do you need an essential change in the object, in which case it has to be dalad dalad, or no, any change of location, you don't even need dalad dalad. There's no such thing. Any change of location of the object. So then you should say. Is Rikiva Savar lo ba'ina and mako hanacha, and Rabbi Chaim Savar and ba'ina hanacha. You know, or Rikiva Savar lo ba'ina and dalad al dalad, because that's what our Gemara says. Rahamani Rikiva, damar lo ba'ina and makam dalad al dalad. So that's it, that's simple enough. He doesn't need that, he just doesn't know about this whole thing. But then don't say, kuta kamisha hunchadamya. I mean, what's he saying? My kuta is like your hanacha? I mean, it's just not a way to say it. Just say lo ba'ina and hanacha. Don't say it's as if it's resting. It's not as if it's resting. It's not as if it's resting. It's only an accidental relation to location. You just don't need that. You don't need that. It's not as if. You just, altogether, that's not what the malacha is. Malacha is just transferring the location. Why invoke a magical principle if you could just say that? Neither in the first place. I guess Manushach, if you're telling me that he holds that you really need hanacha, you need the concept of hanacha, you need... So then how could you say kluta kamisha hancha? It's just not. And if you didn't say you don't need hanacha, that's not a concept which he holds by, then just say lo b'ina hanacha. It's like, how do you... That's the problem. That's why it sounds magical. It's like, how do you at the same time say you need hanacha, but say this is like hanacha? And what value is there to the hanacha? Okay, so I'll tell you, I'm thinking something based upon some earlier stuff we did. But let me just talk about the earlier stuff first, and then we'll get back to this. So, namely, the thing is like this, is that it was based on the Tosas. It was like one of the first Tosas in the Sefta of Pashat. It's on Bezim and Alf, Pashat Balabayas Yado. I'm not going to go through it again. I'm just going to tell you what he says, basically. But basically, he says that in Hotsa'ah, it's interesting how Hotsa'ah is a Malka Garua, which means that the structure of Hotsa'ah, which he showed from his structure, is not what you think it means, but it means that it's structurally, it's a funny halachic structure, malachas Hotsa'ah. Not a normal halachic structure. Okay? How so? So he says the reason why it's funny, he says, because is that really, Hotsa'ah should have even been within Rosh Hashayachid. Okay, from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. If you really wanted to follow the true concept of Hotsa'ah, it shouldn't have only been Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. It should have even been Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. Okay? But the Torah, so to speak, artificially limited it to only from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. And then Tosus there says, well, since it artificially limited it, who knows where it's going to limit it. Maybe basically, therefore, the whole of the Malacha is like in chabal l'chidusha, and you have to basically every tolda you need to find explicitly in the Mishkan, and even an ani and an ashir you have to list explicitly because I think only an ani, only an ashir. I mean, basically the malacha is it's like this artificially limited structure, and once that's the case, it becomes like you can't you have no right to universalize or to extend across the bounds of the category. That's the fact. That's what he says. With a little interpretation. But basically the question is why is it that the natural idea of Hotsa'ah should be even Rosh Hashayachid Rosh Hashayachid? I mean, isn't Hotsa'ah mean that you're changing the object from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid? I mean, well, what's Hotsa'ah, Rosh Hashayachid Rosh Hashayachid? I mean, it's moving the object around. You know? So we said that the idea is that Hotsa'ah means you're changing the location of the object. So if you, for instance, have something, let's take a case, let's say you have something in your kitchen and you move it to your dining room. So its makom was your kitchen, and now you've uprooted it and given it a new din makom of the dining room. So who cares that they both happen to be called Rosh Hashayachid? They both happen to be surrounded by the same walls, you know, and they're set apart from the Rosh Hasharabim similarly. But the makom of my refrigerator is right there, in the kitchen. It's not my house. It's not the Rosh Hashayachid, which has a fence around it, including my backyard, the whole Rosh Hashayachid. The makom of the refrigerator is wherever it's kavua. And now I give it a new makom. And the productivity of Hotsa'ah is you're changing the din makom of the object. So now, how does Rishus have anything to do with it? How does Rishus come into the picture? Okay, and in intrinsically it doesn't. That's what he's saying, is that if you, so to speak, went along the natural core, the natural definition of Hotsa'ah, which is redefining the makam of an object, it really should be, it shouldn't be restricted to Rosh Hashayachid. It really should just be any change in the makam of an object. Okay, but the Torah did not have it that way. For whatever reason, maybe practical reasons, whatever reasons it did, the Torah didn't do that. But it restricted, it artificially cut out half of the malacha, so to speak. And it limited it only from one rishos to another rishos. Okay? Not any change of makom, but only merishos to rishos. Okay? And that basically, you do the tosas, so you listen to the tape, or whatever. I mean, that's what, that basically set off, made a malacha. That's what it means, a garua. Garua doesn't mean, in some sense, it's used to mean that you're not accomplishing anything. But that's not the way Tosas was using it. Tosas using it means is that the structure is garua. Structurally, it's a garua structure because the structure doesn't follow the natural conceptual lines, but it's like cut in half. It's limited to such that there's almost no. It's not like a category. It's not a full category. It's like a half of a category of productivity. And that's why he says. Now, once it's doing that, now just because it says Hotsa'ah doesn't mean necessarily Hachnasa or Zriko or different toldos. Normally, once you know one an Av, you know all the toldos because they're all one category of human productivity. Once you know one, the whole category comes along. But since in Hotsa'ah you see the Torah is picking and choosing, so you can't say the whole category because it's not the whole category. the category of human productivity really be any change in makom. Okay? That's the background. Alrighty. So, with that in mind, let's consider this case here of Plutik Meshoncha. Okay. So again, the idea of makom, the idea of the makom of an object, we're saying is an intrinsic property of the object. Okay, which comes about when the object is munach on a makom dalad al dalad. Okay, otherwise, like we said last time, it's not really a din makom in the object. Okay, so therefore you need dalad al dalad. And therefore what I want to say is that in the primary idea of hotzah, if hotzah, so to speak, were untouched, never changed to this rishus deal, then definitely even Rabbi Akiva would agree that you need dalad al dalad. That you need hanacha. Okay? He holds by hanacha. Intrinsically, the concept of hotzah, changing the makom of a chefza, definitely demands a makom dala dala. Definitely demands hanacha. Okay. The only question is that when the Torah now restricts hotzah to rishus l'rishus, now there's a machlokas. In this new restricted form, do you still need this dala dala, or do you now say, Kluta Kamesha Hunkadamya? Okay, I'm gonna explain. Okay, that's that one. Okay, so what's the idea? Is that so? The question is, how did the Torah, so to speak, restrict Hotzah to only Mirshas Dorshas? Do you say that it basically kept the Malacha exactly the same? Hotzah means changing the makom of the Chafta. Okay, Chafta has a makom, and Hotzah means changing its din makom. But with one proviso. By the way, it's only when, it's like a rule, like an artificial, super added rule. It's only when the first makom was in Rishus Yachid and the second makom was in Rishus Rabbim. Okay, it's like, it's just a rule. Okay, it's basically just a limitation that even though really it changes in the makom of the object anywhere, you know, in any change of location, but we're just limiting it. We're limiting it only to when it's Rishus Yachid, Rishus Rabbim. Okay? But essentially, the malacha is the exact, conceptually, it's the same exact malacha, changing the makom of the object. Okay? So if that's the case, again, you can need dalad al dalad. You can't change that, you're not changing that. Just because you only apply it from Rishus Yachid, Rishus Rabbim doesn't mean you're going to get rid of that requirement of dalad al dalad. It has nothing to do with it. Okay? That's hacham. But Rabbi Akiva holds no. I mean, you see that it's a little bit funny. There's something bothersome about the Rabbanan structure, which is it's like a super added rule. You know, basically it's the same as like Malacha, but oh, by the way, there's this rule, it's only from Rishayel Lishas Rab. Rabbi Akiva don't like that. Rabbi Akiva holds that once you're going to introduce that rule, the character of the Malacha becomes changed. Okay? The Malacha becomes changed. You can't just take the same exact Malacha and just add in like a rule, just a limitation. He doesn't like that. Rather, the malacha was changed from changing the makom of the object to changing the rishus of the object. Okay? I'm going to explain. But that's a different concept. It's not just a word, makom or rishus, but it's a different concept. Okay? Because an object has a makom. Makom is a property of an object. Rishus is not a property of an object. Okay, Rishus, the fact that an object is in a private domain is not a property of the object. Like, see, the mako means where the object is kavua. Like, that whole idea we're talking about, it's like an essential relationship of the object to its location exists on a chefza's relationship to the makom dalad al dalad. That's a property, a din makom of the object. But the fact that this dalad al dalad happens to be surrounded by mechitzos, or happens to be in the middle of the street, or is accidental. And that's just the question of which rishus is this makom contained within. Okay, rishus is an accidental thing. Which makom is it in? Okay, but makom is a property of the object itself. Okay, and what Rabbi Akiva holds is that the malacha became changed from the changing the makom of an object, which is a property of an object, which could only come about from dalad to dalad al dalad, to a different idea, which is changing the rishus of the object. Okay, changing the rishus of the object. Now in Rishos, a Rishos is not a Makam Dala al Dalet. A Rishos means the world is divided into Rishuyos. For instance, Rishos HaYachid goes out L'Rakia. And Rishos HaRavim goes up 10 Tvachim. And I mean, there's Rishuyos. There's, in fact, a Rishos has two components. It has the ground and it has the Avir. Avir is a component of Rishos, of a Rishos, just like the ground is a component of a Rishos. The Avir may not be a Makom vis-a-vis Hanacha or whatever, but the Avir, a Rishos, is like a domain, and domains have airspace. Okay, Avir is a component of a domain. Okay, and therefore, if the Malacha is changing changing the domain of the object, once it's Niklad in the Avir of the Makom, of the Rishos, so then basically it changes the Rishos. Because Avir is a component of the Rishos, just like the ground is another component of the Rishos. And therefore there's no need for Dalet al Dalet. The idea is it now has the new Rishos. Okay? So what does he mean, Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya? Okay, he really doesn't demand the Huncha altogether, because he just needs Kluta, he just needs Rishos. But he means Kluta in the revised Hotzah, in the new form of Hotzah, the Malacha Geruah form of Hotzah, which is Rishos L'Rishos, is Kamisha Huncha, is like the Hanacha of the primary, intrinsic idea of Hotzah, which is Din Makom. As it means, halachically, since Hotzah is restricted to Rishos L'Rishos, you no longer need Huncha. It's as if you had that Huncha. In other words, because the form which Hotzah takes on, which is this idea of Rishos L'Rishos, it suffices, it would be just as if you had Hanacha in that other framework. But now it's Kamisha Huncha Dami in this framework. You know what I mean? But according to the Chachamim, they hold it doesn't work because they hold there was no essential framework change. The Hotzah would stay the same. The Hotzah is Makom to Makom. But it just has this artificial restriction. So therefore, Bavama is, you still need Huncha, you can't get rid of Huncha. So that's the question, is did the Torah, when the Torah, you have kind of the Torah, you could see the Torah was like, you could see two ways to go. So the Torah had to do is for whatever reason, the Torah wanted to restrict Hotzah. And in doing so, you have two options, both of which, each of which has like a pro and a con, which is that the Rabbi Akiva's way is a major change in the character of the Malacha. It's instead you're going from the concept of changing the din makom of the chafza to the Rishos of the Chafta, which is it's a totally different idea. Okay, it's a big change. And that's a weakness of his side, is that's a major change the Torah did in order to restrict it. But on the other hand, there's a logical simplicity, and there's nothing wrong with that idea of changing the Rishos of an object. It's a pretty fine idea. Well, the Chachamim's idea, although it's closer to the original, because it's this underlying idea is still the change in makam of the object, it has like an ugly feature to it, which is like a super-added restriction. Oh yeah, by the way, it has to be Rishos L'Rishos. You know what I mean? Like that's like a super-added limitation in the structure. So in structure, it's a less beautiful structure. But does the Torah opt for the more beautiful but further structure from the original idea? Or does it opt to keep the underlying structure intact, but just to add on the super-added ugly factor, you know? Like that's the question. That's the argument. The same type of malacha. It couldn't. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, basically, it couldn't pull it off. There was no way to pull it off. You could not. He holds that that's not. It's ugly. You can't just have that idea. Just that restriction. He holds it doesn't. It's not a halachic structure. It's too cumbersome.
It's not so cumbersome. It's just saying
exactly. Right. I mean, Rabbi Akiva held it's not possible. It's not. It's not logically. You can't do that because the malacha is makom. Changes in makom. So you can't just say, well, those makomos happen to be in a place which we're calling Rishos HaYachid. What does that have to do with the makom? It's nothing to do with the makom. It just doesn't tie. The makom is a makom. It's a makom of an object. It's nothing to do with Rishos. So you can't just say, oh, it has to be in this Rishos. Why? How is there a unified structure? There's no unified structure anymore. So the structure, you know, it's ugly, but ugly is not just, I mean, ugly is a major, major consideration in a halachic structure. I mean, and halacha is not ugly, halacha is beautiful. He holds that can't be, he holds it can't happen. But give his hold, based on his intuition in Torah, and his shikla das and thing, he holds that can't be. And therefore, the Torah had to do. It's a major change. I mean, we don't hold. I mean, Rabbi Akiva is a shetichid here. We don't hold this one. But you could see he's holding that since it wasn't possible, the Torah had to make a major shift. And yes, it is a major shift. It's a very major shift. But he holds it. That's what happened. That's what had to happen in Melachos Hotzah. It had to go away from the natural category of Hotzah and, so to speak, change it to something other. I mean, practically it's similar, but it's a different, yeah, it's something other. But that's what he holds. That's what he holds. It had to be done. It had to be done because there's no way to retain the underlying idea and put it in this restriction. That's what he held. I mean, we hold you could do it, and you have this restriction. This is a greater thing. I mean, that's a question which is totally, and understand, it's totally in your shikla das based upon your knowledge of the halachic structures and all of Shas and whether the Torah, how the Torah would operate under that type of a, you know, so as we know the derech of the Torah, which you could see that being totally in shikla das. I mean, how could you pass judgment on that without making recourse to all the svaras you know and shas and thinking is that what's the appropriate thing for the Torah to do in that instance? That's an idea of why shikla das comes into a machlokas, because that's why the greater mind is going to have a rav lach rav b'yisure or shmol v'edini. You know, like in an area of your expertise, the more you have a feel for an area, the more you know what stems in an area and what doesn't. What type of a svara is along with the Derech HaTorah or not in that area. That's why the greater Talmud Chacham, his intuition is much more trusted than one of us, because we have a limited purview of our svara. So, you know, then now, and the two great minds are going to see it differently based upon their world of experience. So you can't, there comes a point where they're just going to have to say, my mind tells me from my knowledge of Torah, this is the way the Torah had to do it. They're going to say, no, from my mind telling me, this is the way it's going to do it. And they can't, it comes a point where you can't boil it down further. You're just going to have to say, that's why this is it. You know, and that's, when you have a point like that, then and that's a theory, I mean, you don't always have this, but in theory, that's a point where you stop at Mahokas. I mean, to go further and to say, I think would be going into there, psychologizing them beyond the point, which is, you just couldn't know. You have to be in their mind. You have to be their level of knowledge of the Hotor Kula in order to be able to, based upon a sensitivity that they have, based upon their breadth of Torah. So that's what Kamisha Huncha. So Kasson's saying Kamisha Huncha isn't just magic. It doesn't mean you can't do that. You can't just say it like it's magically, like it's resting. See, the mistake is that you think that's what it's saying, so then you get stuck. But it's a different idea. It's Kamisha Huncha in that other framework. It's as if you have that which is the underlying idea of Otsah, you have that in this new framework. And everyone holds you can't do that. Okay. So it turns out Rabbi Akiva holds Lobina Makom. That's why it's not a contradiction, because it sounds like a contradiction. I didn't ask this in the question, but it sounds like the first thing says how many Rabbi Akiva Lobina Makom Arba Larba. So you don't need it. And then it says Kutumishoncha. So it sounds like you do need it, but you have it. So which one is it? But the thing is, no, you don't need it. But the reason why you don't need it is because it's as if you had it in this framework. It's as if you had that which you have in the other framework. In the primary framework, you need it, Makom Dalad Dalad. But Kluta, in the framework of Rishos, is Kamisha Huncha in that other framework. But bottom line is, you don't need it. Bottom line is, Lo Bein and Makom Dalad Dalad, according to Rabbi Akiva. Okay, good. So let's go a little further in the Gemara and get some facts for tomorrow. Okay, I don't know, you didn't prepare anything further, right? Okay. So let's do some facts together. Let's prepare a little bit. Okay. So it says like this. Okay. So basically, all the Mishnah says is if you throw from Shosyahu, so the Gemara says, it doesn't say this, Kludak Mishnah Chadamia. If you look in the Mishnah, it doesn't say that's what they're arguing about. Okay? That's the Gemara talking. Rabba talking. Rabba is supplying that explanation for the machlokas. So the Gemara asks, it says, Lememra de Pshitale de la Rabba de Bekuta Kamisha Unchadamya, Ubisoch Asara Pligi? Is it, are you saying that it's Pasha to Rabba that they're arguing about Kluta Kamisha Uncha and the case is where you're throwing it below 10 Tvachim? Because what's below 10 tefachim? Below 10 tefachim means Rishas HaRabim doesn't go above 10 tefachim. So if you're throwing it above 10 tefachim, Kluta is not going to help you because it's not going through the Rosh Hashanah Rabba. It's going through Makom Petor. Above 10 Tvachim in Rosh Hashanah Rabba is Makom Petor.
What's above 10 Tvachim?
Called Makom Petor. Makom Petor basically has no status. It's not nothing in terms of it's nothing. It's neither. No Rosh Hashanah. It's not a Rosh Hashanah, really. Okay? So the thing is that, so are you saying that it's Pasha to Rabba that they're arguing when it's below 10, and the argument is, the question is, do you say Klut the Commission or not? V'homi boya boya lola Rabba. Rabba asked, this is very Iboya. When he read this Mishnah, Rabba asked the Iboya, is that what they're arguing about? Diboy Rabba, Lamata Miyud Pligi, are they arguing about Lamata Miyud, Ubaha Pligi, Der Bekiva Sabra Kutu Kamisha Unkodamia, Urban and Sabri Lomer, including Misha Unkodamia? Ava Lamayla Miyud Derekal Potter. But above 10, then definitely you're going to be Potter because Kutu's not going to help you there. Udekule Alma Loyal Finon Zorek Me Moshe. Okay, we'll see what that means in a second. But everyone holds you don't learn out throwing from passing. Okay, I'll read a little further. I'll explain what this means. Odumo lamaylam yod pligi ubaha pligi. Really, it's the questions above 10. There be kiva savar yalfin and zorek mimoshe, rabban savar lomer and zorek mimoshe. Avalamata miyod direk al chayev. My time I'm in, kut mishon chodamia. Says, no, maybe really everyone held. Rabba thought maybe everyone holds kut to commission chodamia, and below 10 you're going to be chayev. The question is above 10. And I, what about above 10? I could be chayev. Because the question of yalfinon zorek mimoshe. So let's see what that means. So Rashi says like this. Okay? So, b'tzolch yod, ilu l'mayla miyod, lav avir shesar abmu, lav imakom petorhu, afil kluta laka. Right, it's not even kluta, it's nothing to do with shesar abmu. Okay, zorig mimoshe. Okay, so what's zorig mimoshe? D'ilu b'moshe mir shesiachil or shesiachil derech shesar abim, afilu l'mayla miyod, kaimalon perka zorig techayev. So if you're above 10, if you go from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, above 10, okay, above 10, through the Rosh Hashanah, but above 10, through the Makom Petor, and you hand it from one guy to the other guy, you're Chayev. Chayev for what? Moshe. Okay, this is a new idea here. You're going from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, above 10, through a Makom Petor, and you're Chayev. Why? The Yalfinan, I'm sorry, the Yalif me agala shel midbar. Because you learn from the carriages that they had, the wagons they had in the midbar. It says, so they had these carriages and these wagons. And the wagons were shasayachid because they had like these walls or whatever. So they were shasayachid, and you handed it like you basically you'd unload these beams off of the mishkan, and what you would do is. You'd advance it, you know, you'd pass it down from one wagon to the next wagon to the next wagon to the next wagon. Okay, and in doing so, you'd be basically be going from above 10, okay, I guess you'd do it above 10, and you'd be doing it from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, but these Rosh Hashanah, the wagons are separated by a little bit of Rosh Hashanah in between. Okay, so then they did that in the Mishkan. So therefore, you're chayav for that in the Mishkan, that's a toldah. Told the Votzah that Yechayah from Moshe above even above 10 from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah above 10 Yechayah, but they never threw them because you can't throw pillars; they're going to break. You drop them; that's too risky. They never did that. So that's the question. The question is: do you learn out? So Moshe, you're definitely Yechayah for Moshe above 10. You're definitely Yechayah for. So maybe he's saying is that they're arguing about are you doing it above 10? If you're below 10, of course you're Yechayah. Kutuk Mishamcha. Everyone knows Kutuk Mishamcha. But above 10, that's the question. Maybe you learn out Zorog Moshe. Or maybe you don't. That would be the Mahlokas. Couldn't you learn out Zorog Moshe or not?
Why do we have to say everyone holds?
I know, that's a good question. Okay, it's a good question. Why do you have to say everyone holds Kutu Mishon Chodami? I know, that's a good question. We're going to tell us going to get into that.
Hey, on both points.
Yeah, maybe they're on both points. Or maybe they both hold Kutu is not a Mishon Chodami. I mean, it's a different question. I mean, why pin them both into that? Okay, but it's a good question. Okay, but I'll leave the question. I mean, that's the Tosus. The Tosus I'm getting into this question. Okay. So it says, so basically what the Gemara just answers, basically Gemara answers, Halo Kasha, Basa Dibaya Hadar Pashtalai. Okay, the Savar Rikiva Kutu Mishon Chodami, right, the Savar Rikiva Kutu Mishon Chodami. Okay. So basically he ended up, it's a funny answer, but basically it says, I'm sorry. Everybody heard the Pashalei. Come, if you put it in, let's stop there. Everybody heard the Pashalei. And it's right, it's true, Rabba, because that was the question. Why is Rabba so sure? It seems like he wasn't sure what the argument focus was. He says, no, he wasn't sure, but then it became clear to him that that's what the argument about. Okay, fine. Whatever. So what we're going to have to do now is, what's the deal with? I think before we're ready to understand Zorek Mi Moshe, the question is, what's Moshe? What's the deal with Moshe? What's the deal with that? Where's the Hotzah there? I mean, you go from Shesi Yochid to Shesi Yochid. Derech Shesi Rabban, but it's above Tan. It's not even Derech Shesi Rabban. So that's a Mishnah in Tzadi Vav. Okay? And let's look at the Mishnah. It's Tzadi Vav and Aleph. Okay? Tzadi Vav and Aleph. It's a Zorik. Okay? And basically you'll see it's not so simple. It's not so simple, this whole halacha. So it depends how you're going through the, how you're going across the Rosh Hashanah. Okay, like vertically or horizontally. Okay, it says, Hazori Mishas Yachel Shas Yachel. I'm sorry, Hazori Mishas Yachel Shas Rab, Mishas Rab, Mishas Yachel Chayev. Fine, so that's just halacha of Zori. Mishas Yachel Shas Yachel, Mishas Rab, Be'emtza, Rabbi Kivach, Mechayev, Acham Potrum. Okay, that's our case, right? Ketzah. Shtig is us to row, Zu, can I get Zu? Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so it's saying is if you have two, like I think they're porches, okay, overhangs, porches, and there's just a, they're connected to, like on opposite sides of the street, okay, and so the opposite sides of the Rosh Hashanah, Hamoshid Vazorik Mizulazu Potter. So you're Potter if you hand it from one to the other, if they're across the street, and you hand it from one to the other, you're Potter. Okay, but how you staying b'diuta achas? But if they're on the same side of the street, okay, like you're passing, and they're along the same side of the shasarabim, and you're like passing it again on the same side from one to the other on the same side of the shasarabim, then hamoshe chayav hazori pater shekach chayis avodas alviyam. Okay, shtegal azu achar zu b'shasarabim moshita machrashim zul azu avolo zarkim. So basically, the point is that in the Rosh Hashanah and the Mishkan, they didn't pass it across the Rosh Hashanah in this way. They only passed it along the derech of the Rosh Hashanah in that way. Okay.
Side to side.
No, they didn't do side to side. No, they did front to back. They didn't do it like you're crossing the street. If you pass it across the street, you're not chayav. It's only if you pass it down the street. Okay, you pass it down. You have two porches, again, on the same side of the street, let's say. And you pass it, and they're overhanging over the Rosh Hashanah, because they stretch out over the Rosh Hashanah. And you pass it from one to the other. So you're staying on the same side of the street. Okay, you're not going across the Rosh Hashanah, but you're like, just like the Agalos. The Agalos, where you can imagine if you have two cars in the same lane on the highway, okay, in the same exact lane, they're both in the right lane, and you pass, like, say, a mattress, whatever, from one car to the car in front of it. That you'd be chayav for. But if you passed it to the car from the right lane to the car in the middle lane, you would not be chayav. Okay? It only works going in the same way of the Rosh Hashanah, not across the Rosh Hashanah. Which sounds just wacky. I mean, it sounds like this whole thing. It's like, so this is the very specific malacha, you know? Like, what is this thing? You know? And then the question is, are you Yelfin on Zorik
Moshe? What did they do in the Mishkan when?
Oh no! So the Mishkan, what they did is they disassembled the. They had a line of cars, like in the right lane, so to speak. And what they do is they take it out of the. They take it out of the Mishkan, and they'd hand it, and they'd advance, like they'd have like an assembly line. So there'd be one guy who was on the in the Mishkan. There'd be a line of cars, you know, right, like a row of cars. And the guy who was in the Mishkan would hand it to the back car, would pass it front. And this way they'd pass it all the way up.
That's a tosser.
But that's going in the direction of the Rosh Hashanah, and not, that's parallel to the Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to perpendicular to the Rosh Hashanah. Parallel to the hilach of the Rosh Hashanah is what's
awesome. I thought it was saying that.
So, yeah. Let me look it through. So that's the question. What's this thing? It sounds like an arbitrary type of tolda. So first of all, what are you doing altogether? You're going to say, Rabban, Rosh Hashanah, the Shasi Yachid. We just said that's not Hotzah. So now it's only Rosh Hashanah. Certainly, for instance, if you pass it within Rosh Hashanah, you're not Chayev. So now, because there's no Rosh Hashanah in the middle, but you're not going in the Rosh Hashanah. You're going above the thing. You're going in the Malkum Pator. So that altogether, what kind of tolda is this? And then, what kind of artificial limitation is it? Only if you're going in the direction of the Hilach of the Shasarab as opposed to against the Hilach, that's also like an arbitrary thing. And then, what's this question about whether Yalfina and Zorig Moshe? Okay? Whether Yalfina and Zorig Moshe. If you look, there is a Tosfos who talks a little bit about Zorig Moshe. I have a Svara, which is different from a Tosfos, but I don't have any Rishon to back me up on it. But I also have a Svara for Tosfos. But you can look at Tosfos. Tosfos says it's a Tosfos of the Rabbi Kiva Sari Yalfina and Zorig Moshe. It's a little one. It's a big problem because we just said I told you about it, is you can't learn avos to told. You can't learn from told to told. It just doesn't work that way in Hotzah. You usually do, but not in Hotzah. So how do you start learning? So those says no, those are really really similar. So you really could do it then, you know, which is funny. The Tosa Rosh, like Tosa Rosh, talks a little bit more than Tosas, but that's for that machlokas. But I think I don't know if we're going to get to the Yalfina tomorrow. I mean, you have to understand this whole told in the first place.